Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. I need to get my kids ready for back to school.
Well, Staples has everything they need at low prices, like comp books for just 50 cents, so they'll be 110% ready.
Wait, that's 10% more ready than totally ready.
Yep.
That extra 10% evens it all out.
Sorry?
Well, I'm usually 10 minutes late getting them to school, so.
That doesn't even it out.
Yeah, sure it does.
Make low prices happen. Make 110% ready happen. Staples. Make more happen. Staples filler paper is just 75 cents, all season long.
Limit 30 per customer in store. Limit 10 per customer online with $25 minimum purchase. Ends 9/12/15.
You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here is your host, Steve Blair.
Another edition of the Yankees podcast, the Dugout Post Game versus again against the Cleveland Indians. The Yankees lose 3-2, lose the first game in the series, set of four games versus the Cleveland Indians, the Tribe. I try to get a little bit of revenge against these guys who pretty much took us out the last time we faced them in Cleveland. BleedBlueShow.com, Facebook fan page, The Bleed Blue Show, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, at The Bleed Blue Show. Of course, shout out to New York Yankees Talk. Shout out to Kenny D, who's on vacation right now. And so is shout out to Chris, who is still on vacation. This guy is living the life. But the New York Yankees lose. We'll hold down for the team. Shout out to all the stakeholders that rep the New York Yankees and rep the Yankees here on the Bleed Blue Show. And got all your emails and tweets. We'll definitely get them out in the future broadcast. So we'll crunch for time. But nonetheless, here we go. Ivan Nova takes the loss for the Yankees. Pitches five innings, six hits, three earned runs, a couple of walks, and four Ks on the night. Outdueled by Josh Tomlin, who wasn't over dominating today, but he did pitch seven innings for the Cleveland Indians. Two hits, two walks, and six strikeouts. The runs for the Yankees go by for Alex Rodriguez, who hit a home run in the bottom of the fourth inning, and they got a tack on run with the RBI by Beltran, RBI single by Beltran, actually through the hole. Unfortunately, the last two strikeouts actually the last three outs, the Brian McCann froze at the plate. It was a borderline pitch. Girardi came out, fought off the call, got tossed from the game. And then you had the fielder's choice play. Run into first, and then you had the bad at bat by Didi Gregorius. I wish he would kind of, and he's going to learn. That's the point of him playing in these games right now, because he's going to learn how to take a bat. He's going to learn how to milk pitches, make the pitcher sweat a little bit. It's just unfortunate the way that how it ended at the end of the game. Now, I want to readdress the bottom of the knife real quick before I get into New York Yankees talk. New York Yankees points by Kenny D. I'll shout it out here on the Bleed Blue Show on the Yankees dugout. You had a sequence of pitches. It was Healy that grounded out with the fielder's choice. And with Santana bobbling it at first. Gregorius, he chased that high heat, and that's the one pitch I wish you could get back, because when you get starts to see the ball a little bit better, he's going to be able to know to lay off that type of pitch, or depending on the signs he gets from the third base coach. So, and I think that was the pitch that pretty much sealed his fate, because from that on in there, Allen kind of settled down and got Didi to fly out the left to end the game to Chisenhall. So, in a nutshell, we could talk about how this game implicates the AL East standings, Toronto Blue Jays, but the Yankees had the opportunity knocking on the door. Let's go back to a little bit about Alex Rodriguez, who hit a home run in the bottom of the fourth. He had the huge grand slam earlier in the week, and he even got things started with the bloop single, the center even stealing the base. It looked like A-Rod's starting to get a little bit of a groove back after being in a terrible 0-for-18 slump, but then actually getting out of that slump with that huge grand slam earlier in the week. Shout-outs to A-Rod on that. And then also the Yankee prospect who's been tearing it up for Key for the two-run home runs during the day game yesterday, and that'd be Greg Bird. And he had an excellent at-bat where he forced the first that walk, and then he was pitch ran by Chris Young. I just wanted to say shout out, and hopefully get Teixeira back on too. Let's get that out of the way, and also Pineda as he go through some rehab starts. But as far as the game first, we got to find a way to crack this Indian code because the Cleveland's starting to have a few wins against us. We're up in half a game by the end of the night. Who knows if we'll sustain the lead or we'll be tied. Who knows how this is going to go. But when it comes to the Yankees, it really starts and ends with the starting pitching if we're going to get anything out of it. We know the bullpen is phenomenal. We know the hitting has been okay, a little bit above average for the season. It gets hot at times, and then there's times the bats get cold. But the starter pitching is so inconsistent, it's not even funny. And it starts with, Tanaka, Pineda, Sabathia, Eovaldi. Now, the two Tanaka's credit, I got to give him credit. You have to go back to the game last weekend in Toronto when he pitched the gym, going nine innings, a complete game. Up in Toronto, an important pivotal game after winning that game 4-3 after the three-run home run by Beltran on that Friday night in Toronto. And the Yankees could have success. The Yankees could show that they're in the midst of these games if the starter pitch is intact. But I don't know if there's – even if Tanaka is on and Eovaldi, who actually had a very good game versus the Twins with the first six innings – no-hit ball, and then he could go from no-hits to, like, pretty much almost losing the game. To his credit, he did get the win, but after the first six innings, he was lights out. But he's only good for between five and a third and six innings. He's not going to – there's a couple of outings. He did have eight innings, to be fair, but he's not going to be somebody who's over-domineering. He has good stuff, but it fizzles out as long as you get to the fourth or fifth inning. And he's fortunate that we got the win with him. But he's going to be in the mix of this rotation because I expect the Yankees to make the buzz. Even if they don't win the AL East, they're at least going to get one of those wild card spots. That's the worst that could happen. I mean, unless there's a total collapse that we are not seeing as Yankee fans, I don't know what to expect with this team as far as that. But I got to say this. With Gardner batting 277, with Ellsbury batting 272. I mean, these guys are juggling high. I mean, one week they seem like the best 1-2 punch in baseball, and then the next week they look like they can't get out of their own way. You got a guy batting 272 at the top of the lineup, went 0-4 tonight versus the Cleveland Indians, and you have Gardner the same thing, 0-4. Got to get these guys on base, got to put pressure on them. The Yankees are going to be at their best with their bats as long as one of those guys get going, both. One of those two have to get going. It starts with those two guys on the base pads, and then you see 0-4, and with the inability to get, not even getting on the base pads, not even through a walk, is just it's unacceptable, honestly. It's a stretch run, and we're almost approaching Labor Day weekend, and about over a month and a half of the season left, or less than a month and a half of the season left. We've got to get these two guys going. I mean, I see you batting 277, batting 272 at the 1-2 spots in this order, especially the big contracts that both these guys got. You got to produce, guys. You got to definitely produce. But nobody out in the lineup really wows you because nobody's really not hitting for average. Everybody's just trying to survive these hits, trying to get on base as best as they possibly can. And a lot of people say, oh, the power hitting is good, and like they have hot streaks. I mean, it seems like there's certain teams. Like, thank goodness they came out and pitched well versus Toronto because they had some nice comeback wins early in the week versus Minnesota with the extra inning game going and winning 8-7 and 10, and then they had the Greg Bird game with the two home runs and the grand slam with the A-Rod and put it up runs in those 7th and 8th. And needs to come out. I mean, they can show flashes, but it seems like it's always against these mediocre teams like Minnesota's. They should even be doing that versus a team like Cleveland. Cleveland's not really going nowhere. Their season pretty much is over. But We have to sustain this pace. We got to win series. So between Friday and Sunday, they have to win the next three, in my opinion. They can't go. They can't split versus Cleveland. If they split versus Cleveland, this is not a good series with these guys. Not a good series. So, this water. Sorry about that. But they got to win the next three games: Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Projected the pitch. Let's see who's on the schedule. Who's the guys that's up on Friday, Saturday, Sunday on the Blue Show. Let's get these guys right there. Next couple of games. Okay, Friday night you got Tanaka versus Carrasco. Tanaka coming off that game performance last Saturday in Toronto at the Rogers Center, and hopefully he could duplicate another similar performance. I mean, even if he even doesn't go a full nine innings, let's get a strong seven out of him. The bullpen somewhat rested, having pretty much without Betances and Miller. Let's see where they go with that. Then also on Saturday, you got Luis Severino versus Salazar, and then of course on Sunday Sabathia, who's 4-9 versus his former team versus Bauer. So, I mean, it's somewhat lined up. I mean, Severino can't even get the run support. So we'll see what the team does for him when he takes the mound. Let me shout out the New York Yankees tour. Shout out to Kenny D. Right now on vacation. Shout out to him and see what he had to say. He had a lot to say to the Bleep Show. I'm gonna shout him out on his message to the Bleep Show. He says the Yanks have looked good since losing their streak. I agree. He says Greg Bird has filled in for Teixeira nicely, both offensively and defensively. I agree. Best performance of the week was Tanaka's complete game performance over the weekend. I just said that. I agree. If he can pitch well down the stretch, it will be a huge help. I definitely agree with that. And overall, with the exception of a few mistakes, the entire starting rotation has looked very solid and has been accompanied by the always great bullpen. Well, that's the key. No matter whether the starter pitching is great or has been average, as long as these guys could get to six innings, maybe seven, turn it over to that bullpen, and it's pretty much lights out. You got a dose of that, especially last Friday night in Toronto. That was a great pitching matchup. Betances coming in the eighth inning and shutting down the Blue Jays the way he has in all-star form. That's why he's a top 10 KGYR, hashtag KGYR on BleeBlueShow.com. And then also that classic duo between Andrew Miller and Troy Tulowitzki in the bottom of the ninth. Tulowitzki just fighting off pitches. I mean, I thought that it just felt like, honestly, to be honest, as a Yankee fan, I thought that Tulowitzki was going to hit a single in this game, and Toronto would have kept their winning streak going. But fortunately for us, that did not happen, and we were able to get out of there with a win. Oh, also from New York Yankees Talk, Kenny D, he also says, moment of the week, Beltran go-ahead home run in Toronto off Aaron Sanchez. No, he might be right. And I actually just said that, too, about 5 minutes ago. As far as that huge home run Friday night in Toronto where the Yankees seemed dead, it seemed like that was like the equivalent of jump-starting a car or CPR or hitting the clear, just say clear. And that three-run home run was everything for the Yankees at that point because it just looked dead, just seemed dead. It just felt just no life. And out of the blue, Beltran coming off, coming into the game and just hitting that strike of a three-run home run for the Yankees, not only getting that life but taking the lead and turning it over to the bullpen to get that win to set up the 2-out-of-3 series win versus the Toronto Blue Jays. And even going after that, completing a sweep versus the Minnesota Twins, now off to a bad start versus the Cleveland Indians, because this is a game, even though the Cleveland was in control for most of the game after being up 3-0 and the home run by Alex Rodriguez in the bottom of the fourth, they had opportunities in the ninth. It's one of those games that's just, if I had to pick the two of the three outs in the bottom of the ninth. And McCann, that was an iffy call. Joe came out to battle it. He put on the show with the stomping of the feet and swiping at the plate. He did what he had to do to get out of that game. So I for one, I'm okay with Joe taking up for his batter, even though McCann didn't really feel that way. I'm not even going to address the umpires. It's like water under the bridge. I mean, there's subjective calling. There's some bad umpires out there. There's some good umpires there. But when it comes to him, I'm going to just let that be, man. He did what he had to do. But let me go back to Kennedy's points. They did look good during after the losing streak, especially in Toronto. Minnesota, the comeback victory, the Yankees could show that they're still never out of a game, even being down. Most of the times they win them. Sometimes, like tonight, they don't win them. So you take it for what a grain of salt, and you just move on in this long journey called the baseball season, 162 games. Greg Bird, he hit the ball very well when he first came up, and he played at Cleveland, not tonight at the stadium, but when they played in Cleveland last week. He came up, we said on the last show that he's hitting the ball well, even though he was hitting for long outs. You can see the way he takes his swing, his nice short swings, short strides towards his swings, his nice crisp swings, bat on the ball, and he's driving the ball very well. But even in that Minnesota game, you could say somewhat of a calling-out party because he carried the team with 2 2-run home runs. The way he's putting that ball on the bat, and I think a little bit of the scouting report is starting to get out a little bit of this guy because there's certain pitches he can hit, and when you could tell that certain pitches, especially with these riding fastballs, that he's kind of iffy, he's kind of shaking, but you got to get more camera, more video on him as far as what type of pitches he can handle, he can't handle. But especially what New York Yankees talk has said, offensively and defensively, he has seemed to be very comfortable in New York pinstripes, especially in the absence of Teixeira, and hopefully get him back too. I would like to see how that lineup would be with Teixeira DHing and Bird also with Bird coming off the playing at first base. I would like to see how that lineup would be. I have to look at it. You would go Ellsbury, Gardner, A-Rod, Teixeira, Bird, McCann, Beltran, and then the second base, and then the shortstop. That's not pretty. That's not bad. That's definitely not bad. I like that. I would definitely take that. I would definitely look into how they could do that. And they have that pinch hit options with Chris Young batting righty, even outfield options too. I like that. That's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. Shout outs to the stakeholders on the Bleed Blue Show, calling up the Yankee game with the Bleed Blue Show on the social media apps. Some Yankee fans are a little bit frustrated after what happened. I can understand that. That's fair. That's fair. So let's look at what we saw in the week since the last time we've been on here. We saw 2 out of 3 out of Toronto, a sweep versus Minnesota, off to a bad start versus Minnesota. You could say that the week has been above average, somewhere between average and above average. I don't think this team is. And I was talking to Chris about that because when the Yankees were on that losing streak, and Chris says, "Oh yeah, we're collapsing." And I said, "Brother, you got to relax, man. And these were one of those lows we were talking about in spring training, because we said that once the Yankees, the first 2 months of the season, where they get off to a somewhat decent start. If they were playing 500 ball by Memorial Day, we were cool with that. We signed off on that. But the Yankees were actually a few games, about 5-6 games over 500 around Memorial Day, and we were cool. We took it. We were overachieving at that point. And those games that we were 5-6 games over 500 after Memorial Day, we could just wipe or net those out or cancel those out with the six losing streak in August. So those kind of give up these they go against each other. And then you add to the totality that since the trade deadline with Toronto, they were winning nonstop. And I always felt that win streak is, I mean, although it's somewhat legit, I'm going to give them credit for credit's due. They have the bats, they're putting home runs, they started pitching, they shore up the starting pitching, going with fewer starters, shorter rotation. I mean, they're playing very well, but I don't expect it to last, honestly. I don't even, as a Yankee fan, I see so many games, I see so many teams who do get hot and they end up fizzling out, and I don't expect Toronto. Or no, I expect Toronto to get one of those wild card spots. Let's be honest. I expect them to get that. But as far as this domination of 10 games, 11 games, the win streak, then went on to a couple losing game streak versus the Yankees, I don't expect that to keep up at all, man. I really expect the Yankees to win this division, take hold of this AL East, and even at worst consolation prize, you could still get the the wild card. So not tripping about that. But the only thing I definitely am concerned about is the starting pitching with this team. I mean, Sabathia, Severino, I mean, even he's looked good, but the problem is they don't give him the runs. So we'll see how this goes with that. We'll see how this goes with that, with this squad. We'll see what's going on around baseball. We know that in the AL East, you got Toronto, who's about to be a game out, game and a half out behind the Yankees going into Friday. Baltimore, 4.5 back. Tampa's 8 back. And Tampa's not even playing all that bad. I mean, they're like 2 games under 500, and they're not even playing all that bad. And, of course, the Red Sox, where I love to see the Red Sox at all times be at the bottom of the division where they need to be. I can't stand the Red Sox. So I'm glad that they're in last place. As a Yankee fan, keep the Red Sox way down there and be out there. Kansas City is pretty much cooking. They ran away with the Central Division as expected, 14 games up on Detroit, 26 games over 500. I mean, they're playing very well as a team. Of course, Detroit, Minnesota, and Cleveland right there in the middle of the pack between 2 and 4, and of course Chicago in last place in the Central Division. Houston, you got Houston leading the West with the Angels on their heels, about 2.5 games back, and then of course you got Texas, Seattle, and Oakland. Texas trying to fight for that second wild card spot too. Let's see what it is. See, right now the two spots in the AL for the wild card, the Blue Jays and the Angels. And then you got Baltimore a half game back, and then you got Texas 2 games back from that. Even Detroit has 4 games left. I mean, it's still a little bit of fight. I mean, some teams like Minnesota and Tampa Bay, who are only 4 games back, they can still try to find a way to make way to get into the wild card hunt. And then if we go into the National League, we don't talk too much National League baseball here on the Bleed Blue Show, but the Metropolitans, that's the Mets. 3.5 games up on the Washington Nationals, and of course the Braves about 11 games back behind them, and then you got St. Louis who's 4.5 games up on Pittsburgh, who has played great baseball too. Pittsburgh has played very well this year. They're 4.5 games behind St. Louis, and then of course you got the Dodgers and the Giants always in the West. Those two teams have always been battling. It seems like the last decade in the NL West. The Dodgers leading right now 2.5 games, but San Francisco, the defending champs, you can never count those out. They have a great manager, Bruce Bochy, and good starting pitching. They're just a championship caliber team. They probably just don't put much stock into the regular season. They'll try to turn it up as the regular season goes on. So we'll see how that goes and how they're looking as far as in the National League. You've got Pittsburgh and Chicago right now, the two teams in that wild card position. And then, of course, San Francisco, Washington, then even the Diamondbacks were like way back. So San Francisco is trying to catch ground, at least that second wild card spot, to at least defend their crown. Let me say real quick on the BleedBlueShow.com, for the Yankees, we will be doing these Yankee podcasts, the post games, Thursdays, every Thursday going on here on for the rest of the regular season. The Saturdays has been fun. The Saturday morning shows have been fun before the Saturday afternoon games, depending on who they play. And then it has been Excellent. Now moving these right here to Thursdays, post games, because once the playoffs start, we will here at the Bleed Blue Show, we'll be doing these post games on Thursdays, or depending on when the Yankees play during the week. So we'll update the schedule on bleedblueshow.com/schedule to keep you updated. So when the Yankees are in the playoffs, we'll have those post games live with Chris, New York Yankees talk, Kenny, and all the stakeholders who could join on in the discussion, the conversation, live on the Dugout podcast. So shout out to the Yankees on that. And I gotta say, this year, as far as what the Yankees is, what it was compared to last year, with the Yankees, it just seemed like the pitching was phenomenal last year. Just couldn't hit worth a lick. I mean, I still think our bats are okay and gets hot streaks. It can still somewhat be better, but that's going to take time. So the question is, the two-part question with the Yankees, heading in for the rest of August and then heading into September. There's only really two questions I really have with this team. The number one question is the starter pitching. I'll save that question for last. But let me come back to the hitting. The hitting, and I have to talk to Kenny D on that and Mr. Yankees Talk, and, of course, the Godfather Chris. When I talk to these guys, and I tell them, I say, hey, you know, look at this batting. You know, you think we could get it done when the highest batting average on the team is around 277, 280 range? You think that's going to get it done in the postseason versus teams and whoever we may face? See, the thing with that is I'm not afraid of Toronto. I'm not afraid of Houston. I'm not afraid of the L.A. Angels of Anaheim, of California, or Southern California, where the Earthquakes play. Angels, I don't know what they call. And then the other team. See, I can't even remember the team's name. I'm not even worried about them. Kansas City. I thought we played Kansas City. So let's look at all these teams. Like Kansas City, when we went to Kansas City, they had the best of us earlier this year. And I thought we played Kansas City very well in the Bronx. Houston was a team where I think they have phenomenal. They have very good pitching. They're a sound baseball team. Even when we went to Houston, I thought we looked very, very good against them too. This is like the first time I can remember in a while when the Yankees were in the playoff hunt. I really have not feared any team, since '99, 2000. I mean, even when we were in the playoffs in the 2000s, I was nervous versus those Detroit teams, like the Detroit team when we lost when we had Randy Johnson. That was unbearable to watch. Or even the teams when Verlander was at the top of his game, striking out anybody and everybody. Even the Boston teams, too. I give them credit because when they had Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz pitching with John Lester and Clay Buchholz, and those teams were very – those teams you got to keep an eye on. I don't worry about these teams. Once we get in, I think we'll be fine. You would hope – that because the start, see, this is the logic I'm looking at it with the when we play teams in the playoffs, and I'll wrap up real quick. When you have starting pitching that's okay, suspect, at worst, you know, they could get out of it. We have enough guys in the bullpen who could pitch long and it's not named Betances and Miller, meaning we could turn it over to guys who are in the bullpen, like Wilson, Capriano, stuff like that, Adam Warren. Even if it's a bad performance, we could use those guys who could pitch 2 to 3 innings at a time to see if the offense even jumps back in to get these games. Because none of these teams, their offense is really like, oh, my God, I got to really worry about this team. I ain't got to worry about this team. So I feel that even if the suspect pitch, if we could still get it done with first these caliber teams in 2015 when in the playoffs. Toronto's bats are good, but I still even think we could get them, even if we have to meet up with them in ALCS. But we're almost out of time. The Yankees podcast, the Dugout, the New York Yankees lose to the Cleveland Indians. The BleedBlueShow.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the BleedBlueShow, at the BleedBlueShow. Let's see. Oh, you got to check out all the podcasts. We have done the Knicks Fan Forum on Wednesday night. That was a hell of fun with the Knicks trivia. The New York Football Giants last Sunday episode, the roundtable off the preseason number one game versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Did the New York Rangers, the Blues Day recap the rink with Bleed Blue Show analyst Travis. All those audio are are in the archives on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn app. You can also listen to the audio right straight from BleedBlueShow.com. /podcast if you don't have the apps on your smartphone devices to upload devices. But other than that, guys, we're out of time. The Yankees lose versus Cleveland. Hopefully get up and try to win the series over the weekend. Other than that, bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?